Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the fifth chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." The Gospel of the Lord.
Thanks
be to Christ. You may be seated. I'd like to invite the children forward.
Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Good morning. How are you? Good. How are you this morning? Good? Yeah. Well, we just sang this song, Jesus Loves Me. How many of you think you pretty much know that song? Think you know that song? All right. And so there's this part in it that says, we are weak, but he is strong. And who are we talking about? Jesus or God being strong. Oops, I'm sorry, little ones. I started without you. Come on down. We just sang Jesus Loves Me. Do you know that song? And we talk about saying that we are weak and Jesus is strong. So what are we saying about Jesus that's strong? Yeah. Strong in love, exactly. That Jesus' strength is the love of Jesus, okay? Now, in that scripture that I read, we were told to pray for our enemies and to do good even when people are harming us and to act in ways of forgiveness even when it's really hard. Have you ever had a time that you had to practice being loving or forgiving? Yeah? I know I have. I have a brother and sister. Tell me if this ever happened to you, that I had to say, I'm sorry, and I didn't want to. Has that ever happened to you? Yeah, it's happened to all of you too. So, but you didn't feel like saying you were sorry, and you really didn't feel sorry, but you had to say it anyway, right? That was practice. That was practicing acting loving and forgiving, even when you didn't feel like it. What are other ways that you practice being loving that are maybe even easier? Yeah. Oh, good. So you heard him. You said you were sorry, and it looks like you did feel sorry. Yeah? And he felt better, and you hugged. Right? Yeah, good. So maybe practicing love by giving a hug. What other ways have you practiced love? Do you ever do something for someone else? Have your parents ever asked you to go do something? You're like, oh, I don't want to go do that. And you roll your eyes and you go do it anyway? Good. That's good. Yep. So that's happened. So sometimes we have to practice, and it can be a little bit hard. And do you know what Jesus promises, though? That love of God is big enough even when we don't feel it. That love of God is there even when it's hard for us. And our sacred space today has this way of practicing that we start with prayer. that sometimes we have to open up our hearts to love by starting with prayer. And in that, out there on the narthex, we have rocks that you'll need to be really gentle with if you do this. But you can write the name of someone that is hard for you or that you're struggling with, or something, even if it's not a person, and then pray about it, and then we have you put it in the water, and you'll see what happens. What do you think will happen to that marker on the rock? Yeah, it'll wash away. But that's a way to practice, that starting with prayer and praying for something that's hard for us or we're upset about, and then letting God do the rest. So will you pray with me right now? Jesus of love, thank you for your strength. Help us to pray for those that are really hard to pray for. And let us know that your love is strong enough. Amen. All right, thank you for coming up. So we teach our children from the beginning about the strength of Jesus just by singing that song, Jesus Loves Me, right there for the youngest of minds to absorb into their hearts. And we say that the love of Jesus is the strength of Jesus. And then their little eyes turn into our adult eyes, and we may pause and say, wait, really? Because what I see in our world often is a kind of love that's lifted up on candy hearts and fleeting emotions. I see that power, strength, and might come from staking a claim in what is mine, standing up for myself or my territory or my country. Strength means winning. It means being in control and relying on no one else. And those who are pacifists usually are seen as weak or afraid. And the lines of justice are just much more clear, well, when there are lines or circles or walls. And if these things are true, even Jesus seems quite weak, asking me to turn the other cheek, love my enemies, pray for those who are hurting me or those that I love. And this is where Jesus says that these very ways of seeing love and power are, in fact, the ways that we are weak. When we circle the wagons or build walls or stake our claim, drawing a line or a box or a square or a triangle in the sand, what is the real motivation behind that? Well, it's fear. Fear drives us to make sure we take care of ourselves. Fear drives us to keep others away. Fear drives us to do all kinds of things that come across as powerful and mighty. The love that Jesus is bringing, the love that Jesus is asking us to live into, does not come from a place of fear. Instead, Jesus brings to light the reality that love has power. I listened to an interview on Being. It's a podcast, and the interviewer is Krista Tippett, of two Buddhist meditation teachers. And they spoke about this concept of the strength and the power of love. They talked about it originating in these words of Jesus to love our enemies, but as also part of their practices of spirituality and understanding of fierce compassion, or tough love. They said that love is not about saying, well, you can walk all over me, or I'm just going to passively let what will happen happen and then try to paint some pretty hearts and flowers over top of it. But instead, I want what's best for you, and I will not let you take away my center. I will hold you accountable from a place that honors you as a beloved of God, while honoring myself in the same way. This kind of love comes from a place of security and openness and strength. Martin Luther King Jr. has been quoted many times as saying, "Hate cannot drive out hate, only love can do that." And this quote comes from the practices of mindfulness and fierce compassion that are part of Christianity and a part of the practices of other religions as well. This kind of love is certainly not made of anything fluffy or intangible. This kind of love is difficult. It takes practice. It takes being present and open and attentive, not just to others, but to our own inner thoughts and feelings before they come flying out of us. The other thing that the Buddhist teachers wanted to acknowledge was that jumping from hate to love can be pretty hard, and so that there is kind of this middle ground that we're invited to play with, just called try not hating. Try out, I'm going to think good things for this person or pray for this person, just because maybe if they have something else to do, they'll leave me alone. So we don't have to jump right there. This kind of love knows that loving the enemy is work, whether the enemy is an outer one, like a big, scary villain, or just that really annoying neighbor or coworker, or if it's an inner one that won't give us any peace and quiet or rest. And that this kind of love is not for the ways of the weak, and it cannot start from a place of fear. But instead, this love sets on a course of striving for that perfection that is present in God's love. So we need to take a moment and pause about that word perfection in our scripture today. In Greek, this perfect word is telos, it doesn't mean moral perfection, and it doesn't mean like getting things perfectly straight or right. But it is about striving for, going towards an intended outcome or goal. And so an example that Pastor David Lose gives is the telos of an arrow shot by an archer is to reach its target. The telos of a peach tree is to yield peaches. Okay? So that means that we might translate this passage more closely to saying, be the person and community God created you to be, just as God is the one that God is supposed to be. So this here is where Jesus is giving command and promise, holding them together. Jesus does see more in us than we tend to see in ourselves. And Jesus is asking more of us than we think we can do. And it probably is more than we can do, especially on a bad day. Love enemies. Say we're sorry when we do not feel like it. Turn the other cheek. Pray for those causing harm. Act in ways of forgiveness that are really tough. And it can be tough. And Jesus here calls us to that it is also possible. And the promise is there, because even as we are asked to participate in this way that Jesus calls the kingdom of God, this way of life, we are not the ones who bring in the kingdom of God. That's Jesus' job. We are not asked to do what only God can do. We are asked to strive for that intended goal, strive for mercy, justice, love, and grace, and then let God be who God will be and do the rest. In our adult education discussion last week that was on the law, not a great title. Not many of you got excited to come. But that's okay, because it was a really wonderful and insightful discussion into how we navigate living together in ways of justice. And one woman who was participating in the conversation talked well about mercy and justice being held together. She explained that when we're wronged, we want justice to be done. And when we're the ones who do wrong, we seek out that mercy from others. And Jesus here is switching that up and saying that when we are the ones who do wrong, we need to be concerned with justice and with making things right. And when we are the ones who are wronged, we need to seek to find a way to be merciful. And we see that justice and mercy are held together this way in Scripture, and even flipped over by Jesus, telling us that we can see things from another angle, and we can live out God's love for the world in ways that hold these two opposites together with a thread of grace that will go in between. I want to share a story with you that happened a couple weeks ago in a congregation in Denver, where that thread of grace was able to be woven in between people of very different lives. A pastor friend of mine was receiving new members, and she had just finished baptizing one of them and then invited the new members forward to step forward. And there had been throughout a service a man in the very back, but participating in the worship fully, and he kind of stuck out. He was not someone anyone had met before. He was rough-looking, hadn't had a shower in a while, was kind of covered in tattoos, and he didn't look like everybody else. He didn't have the light skin tone that the rest of the room had. But he heard the words of baptism and the invitation to come forward, and he took it wholeheartedly, and he stepped forward with that group of people, and he said, "I want my name added to the list." Now, it was surprising, and it was kind of out of order, but he was received and welcomed in as a member of the community. He made those promises to be in the community, and the congregation made those promises back to him. And after worship, many people came to say hello and greet him and talk with him, and they brought him coffee and donuts and listened to his story. And it did turn out that he was running, that he was in trouble with the law. He'd stolen a car, he's caused some issues with a girlfriend, and he was looking for a safe place. But the people hung in, and they listened, and they were open to hearing about where he was currently in his life. And through that conversation, he looked at them and said, "Okay, I need to turn myself in, don't I?" And they said, "Yes, you do, but you won't be alone." And a few of them went with him to find a police officer to turn himself in. They promised that they would see him in jail and that the promises that they had made as a community that morning would remain intact as he belonged to them now. Mercy and justice held together by the people of God in an awkward, surprising, not planned for moment when love showed up and guided the way. This is the strength of love, where forgiveness is not left alone as a certain feeling that we have to attain, and where love is not left alone without words and action to keep its promises, where instead both are held as ways to strive for, the way to live into, and this way takes courage and strength and practice and persistence. So this means that we take those deep breaths and maybe pick up that rock of sacred space or take a knee and start with prayer and pray for someone with whom we struggle and let God do the rest. It means we create space in our minds and hearts to counter hate with love or at least with not hate and let God do the rest. It means that our love and our prayers and our trust in Jesus' strength is our strength. And so we can continue to sing with confidence no matter how old we are. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones, to him belong. We are weak, but God's love is forever strong. Amen. You are invited to join us in a time of reflection and prayer and singing, joining in the ways of sacred space.